2 weeks ago, we looked at John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in the Bible for Christians. Its own little doctrine class. And then last week, 17 and 18, where God reminded us that we are condemned already, that we're born condemned, and that we must be saved to have that condemnation removed. But that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but he sent Jesus to save the world, and that everybody can receive salvation and the removal of the condemnation, but it's up to them. And then God takes in these next two verses, 19 and 20 and 21, and explains to us why man doesn't get saved. We've all heard excuses as we've witnessed to people why they won't get saved, but God tells us there's really only one. Let's look at it in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, let his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So I've entitled it, Men Loved Darkness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word to teach and grow us tonight, and we'll have a special prayer time together. We thank you for this privilege, and we pray you'd meet with us and be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. So God says, this is the condemnation. Remember, the condemnation was in 17 and 18, that we are already condemned for our sins. He says, this is the ultimate condemnation, that light has come into the world, that God has solved the condemnation problem through the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to John 8:12. Most of us know this verse, where Jesus made it clear that he is the light. He doesn't just give light. He is the light. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Look what he says. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So he's contrasting light and darkness there. And of course, when we're saved, as Paul says in Acts 26:18, we are transformed from darkness to light. But the condemnation is that light has come into the world, that light has already become available to man. And back to our verse, it says, and men love darkness rather than light. So the problem is sin. That's it. Now, we've all heard a very long list of excuses. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 32, if you would. I'm not ready, family issues, whatever. But those are all just smoke screens that the devil helps them throw up. In the end, it's about sin. That to be saved, a person has to admit they are a sinner, and they are a wicked sinner, and they deserve to go to hell. That's why when you witness to people, you start with sin. And Jesus did the same thing, did he not? Look at the woman at the well. Men love darkness. Romans 1:32. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So once you share the gospel with someone, now they understand I'm accountable. People don't want to be accountable. And so that's why we live in this new culture of non-accountability, where you get to blame your bad behavior on everything but yourself, your parents, your environment, New Zealand, whatever. But it's definitely not your fault when you behave wrongly. It's someone else's fault or some outside influence. Man doesn't want to be accountable for his sin. But God says, if you go to 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that we are all accountable for our sin. Not for someone else's, but for our sin. And as he says, it because their deeds were evil. So 2 Thessalonians 2:12 pretty much lays it out. God here is contrasting those who are saved and those who are not saved. Look what he says. That they all might be damned. That's a heavy word. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So look what God is contrasting. That they all might be damned who what? Believed not the truth. But those who believe not the truth, what is their reason? Pleasure in unrighteousness. So there's the reason that they believe not the truth, because of sin. So go back to our passage, John 3:20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. So it's a conscious decision of man, of sinful man, to not come to the light. That's why you must start with sin when you witness to somebody, because they have to be willing to understand that they live in darkness and they must be willing to come to the light. The light is going to shine on them, as we'll see here. But man gives all these other reasons. Well, I'm an agnostic. I'm an atheist. I believe in evolution. God is cruel. God isn't love. And we could just go on all night. All these excuses that man comes up with for not getting saved. That's the devil. He's been giving man lies since the Garden of Eden. Now, Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come to me. We have to come to Christ to be saved. He says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So we have to make a conscious decision to leave the darkness and come to the light, come to Christ. But when we do that, go back to our verse there. He says, lest his deeds should be reproved. So there's the problem. When we come to the light shines and shows that we're a sinner and we are reproved for our sin. The same thing happens for Christians when we open the Word of God. When we go to church and hear the Word of God, the light shines on our lives and points out areas and reproves us. But it does the same for the unsaved. So this is all about accountability and judgment for sin. So now again, go to Romans 1 again. We'll go a little bit earlier this time, verse 19. And this is a powerful truth here. Because that, Romans 1:19, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. So this is talking about the unsaved. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of the world of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What is that saying? It's saying that God has put within us an innate knowledge that there is a God. And that we aren't going to be able to stand at the judgment and say, Lord, I didn't know there was a God. God's going to say, I created you with a knowledge of a God. You have it within you. It's manifest in them, it says. Then what we choose to do with that is up to us. So go over to Romans 2 now, verse 15. It all comes down to our conscience. What do we choose to do when our conscience, as a child, for example, our conscience, when we do something wrong, says that was wrong? Where does that come from? We're not saved, so it's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's coming from our conscience that God gave us. That's something animals don't have. It's one of the things that sets apart from animals is that we have a conscience. So notice Romans 2:15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness. This says that there's a law in our hearts. Now, this isn't talking about the law of Moses. This is saying that in our hearts we have a law. Notice it says their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts, here we go, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And this is what we do, isn't it? It's what the unsaved do. It says, "When in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men." So notice the connection there between the conscience and judgment. But what it's saying is that when the conscience, when we witness to a lost person, their conscience is saying, this person's right, I'm a sinner, I'm wicked. And then they immediately have a decision to make. I need to come to Christ or I'm going to go to hell. Or they start accusing or excusing. But it's all about sin. Accusing or excusing about what? About the wrong that they've done. And we learn that as children, don't we? It started in the Garden of Eden. What did they do when they, after they sinned, they tried to hide from God? And then when God challenged them, what did they do? They tried to accuse. They tried to pass on the blame. Adam said, "That's this woman you gave me." And Eve said, "Oh, it's the devil." Neither one of them said, "It was me." They blamed someone else. And even Christians still do it. But here God is saying that to come to Christ, we must be willing to come to the light and have our deeds reproved. And the reason men don't get saved is because of sin. You think about all the religions that appeal to man. What do they teach? Pretty much the same thing, and that is we can earn our own way to heaven by doing this and this and this and this, or not doing this and this, or whatever. But it usually comes down to works, doesn't it? Doing stuff. Well, doing stuff is a nice substitute for, I'm a wicked sinner going to hell and there's nothing I can do about it. When you're doing stuff, now your pride gets involved and you say, I can have a part in getting myself to heaven. True Christianity says, no, you deserve to go to hell and there's nothing you can do about it outside of God's help. You can't get yourself to heaven. There's no pride in that. There's a complete absence of pride. So the issue is sin. We see in verse 20, they don't come to the light. And we see in verse 21, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now for us as Christians, we understand what this is saying. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you, right? James 4:8. That God works in us when we get closer to him, when we draw closer to the light, he points out our deeds and he helps us to grow in our faith and so forth. But the unsaved, their condemnation is that they love darkness rather than light. So remember that the next time you're witnessing and somebody starts throwing up all these smoke screens, just stick with the Word of God. Stick with the Bible. Keep giving them Scripture. And don't be afraid to tell people that sin is real, and the consequences of sin is real, and that's hell. You know, we can't sugarcoat it. It's real. Jesus never sugarcoated it. You know, he called the Pharisees whited sepulchers and serpents and all kinds of other names because they were leading people astray. So men loved darkness. That's the issue. Light has come. We have a choice to come to the light and have our deeds reproved and seek God's solution, or to say, my sin is more important. Had pleasure that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. So the issue has always been and always will be the issue that started in the garden, sin. So doesn't it make you thankful that you were willing to overcome that and trust Christ and admit you were a sinner? That's what Jesus was pushing that woman at the well to do, wasn't it? When he finally said to her, the man that you're currently living with isn't your husband. And yes, you had seven more before him. Now she realizes, he knows about me and he knows about my wicked life. But he was pointing out the sin. And what does she do but believe? And then immediately go and tell the other people in the town they needed to come hear Jesus. And some of them got saved. But it started with sin, and it always should, because men love darkness rather than light. Let's pray.